right. So this week's podcast, we kind of got the idea from last week's where we interviewed Nathan Phelps. And so we contacted Shirley Phelps Roper and asked her to come on the show. And she was gracious enough to do so. And I would like to turn the time over to Shirley so she might be able to introduce herself and say whatever she feels like before we get started.
Well, okay. I would just say that I am a servant of the living God. I find myself plunked down in the middle of doomed America, in the last hours of the last days of all, amazing times, amazing things going on all around us, and we have a job to do. This little church here, Westboro Baptist Church, has the privilege of standing before the nation and before this generation unapologetically, unequivocally, unambiguously, telling you that first, the destruction of this nation is imminent. Your sins, your deliberate, presumptuous sins, have separated you from God and His mercy. And so, your destruction is imminent. And second, that these big things that were spoken of by the prophets of old are unfolding before your eyes. And once this nation goes down, there's going to be a whole nother bit of activity that will involve, other things. I don't suppose I need to talk about that right now, but I don't know what else I should tell you. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Yeah, I wonder, how long do you think we have? Or in other words, is there a time, you know, 2025 rolls around?
Holy cow, 2025? That doesn't sound imminent.
How about 2015?
All roads lead to SCOTUS. You know SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States?
Right.
Yeah. Well, now, when we spoke
with... You know, that's October 6th.
Yeah, they're it's Al Snyder, right?
Yes.
It's you guys versus Al Snyder.
October 6th. Not us versus Al Snyder, hon. We didn't sue him. He sued us. We didn't do this. You understand?
What?
I'm happy for him, and I'm going to let him finish. But he did this, and of course he had to do this, and I'm so happy that he did it because it fulfills those words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. In speaking of these last hours of the last days, he said they're going to do these various things, including this, and not to worry, because it's going to turn to you for a testimony. Just look what it's done. Even as I testified in that trial, they asked me a question about the publicity. I said, look, nothing like since you sued us. And, of course, it exploded. The Tuesday after that verdict came out on a Wednesday, October 31. I can remember that because it was my happy birthday. And so October 31 and the following Tuesday, Al Jazeera is calling. And they're saying, we're calling because your message has just exploded all over the world.
Wait, you were born on Charlie's and My Favorite Holiday?
Well, I don't know about all that. It's a pagan holiday, but it does happen to be the day that I was born, yes.
Well,
and I love it because my little grade school kids all through the years, they don't go to school on that day, so I get to have my little ones with me on that day.
Well, now you talk about publicity. Bear with me for a moment. There was a response that just came in concerning Nathan's interview. And it's quite prevalent concerning what we're discussing right now. Now, this is in reference to picketing of military funerals, and I'll just read really fast. This is in reference to you as well. They are insulting the very people that defend their right to free speech. I see Fred Phelps as no better than Islamic terrorist. Maybe once the legal system fails them, they will turn to bombs. They are fanatical enough to justify it. Now, what do you have in response to something like that?
First, tee-hee, get over it. But here's what I have. Here's what I have, hon. You do greatly err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Here's what we know. The wrath of man is going to praise God. And the remainder of that wrath, he's going to restrain. So, this government was put in place by the Lord our God. That First Amendment was put in place by the Lord our God. The verse says, God owns the shields, and they're going to do his will. These shields that he's put around, these leaders, people tucked here, tucked there, he owns them, and he put them there. So here's the way this is going to go. Forget that legal system, fail you. Yikes. Fail me? No. You failed yourselves. I'm not relying on a legal system. You are looking through the wrong eyes when you suggest that these servants of God who have stood patiently, peacefully, lawfully on your streets for 20 years, every single day, more than 44,000 pickets, peacefully, lawfully. Now you're going to suggest, you're just going to accuse us. You know, my husband always says, he does human resources. And so he'll tell the children once in a while when he has occasion to, which you do a lot with 11 children, he'll say, the best litmus test of future conduct is past conduct. That's what you look to. What have you done in the past? You don't have any basis in this country to suggest that these servants of God at Westboro Baptist Church, who have stood lawfully, peacefully, and faithfully telling you what the Word of God is every day for 20 years, are now going to suddenly become violent. We know that we are authorized to use words, and that's what we use. So that jackass who wrote in and said that we're compared to the Islamic terrorists, well, except for that criminal, murderous, violent thing, blah, blah, blah. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Well, that's a fascinating response. Now, Charlie, I notice you're quite silent. Did you have anything to add to that?
You know, I actually, it may surprise you, I think, Shirley, that you and your Baptist groups are right. I mean, if you read the Bible, God is exactly as big of a dick and an asshole as you've described him. He's a gigantic baby. He creates a bunch of stuff, and then he kills it. He creates a bunch of stuff. He gets mad at him for doing stuff he doesn't like. He turns around and kills him.
He gave you an option. He said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. I set before you life and death.
Sure, he gave us an option in one book written by an obscure backwater Jewish tribe, as opposed to Enuma Elish and a bunch of other Sumerian tablets and a bunch of other mythologies, Egyptian mythologies.
No, man, that's your this problem.
It's not like a neon sign saying, oh, this God amongst the 3 billion gods that people believe in and make up, this one's correct.
You have everything you need. You have everything you need to be successful in this obey your God thing. You didn't have to go wandering around chasing after these false gods. If you were the least bit honest, you would say that all of these bastardized faces of these false religious systems took their lead
Hebrew
out of the
God.
Bible.
Right, Akhenaten.
Right out of the Bible.
Akhenaten, who preceded Hebrew writing by 400 years, but the Hebrews
Hebrew
apparently...
Hebrew writing, but sadly, my dear, they didn't precede God by 400 years.
No, of course not. The Sumerian gods and the Greek gods, they all came after, right? Egyptian...
Blah, 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 blah. Hey,
the Egyptian,
you know that the God of the Bible, God, one Lord, one salvation.
Now, Shirley,
I'm not going to argue that point with you. You just need to say, I don't believe, and call it good.
Shirley, your beliefs are ridiculous on the face of them.
Your unbelief is not binding on me.
Of course not, and no one said it was. And your belief is neither binding on me.
The point of this conversation is to just tell me how ridiculous I am because I believe the words that are written in the book and because I see them coming forth before my eyes, and you do too, then what's the point?
What's coming true that's different now than was 2,000 years ago?
Oh, my dear. Don't pretend that this nation's... Look, even in the last 20 years, about 11 years ago, we started flying the flag upside down. And we had all the laughing, mocking, scoffing, ha-ha, we better send the Marines in there and see who's in distress up in here.
Right, because now, no one's laughed, mocked, or scoffed before.
I want to see the guy who's going to, hey, wait.
That's absolutely
where's
new.
Where's the person?
That's completely
where's
new.
The doomed, where is the person who's going to step up today and say,
that's not what I asked you. I said, what's new now as opposed to 2,000 years ago? But people mocked, scoffed, and mourned 2,000 years ago. This nation didn't even exist 2,000
years ago. What did you say about 2,000 years ago?
Everyone mocked, laughed, and scorned 2,000 years ago.
Not like they do today.
So it's just a matter of magnitude. It's just a little worse now. That's a great prophecy.
Well, Paul,
you know, things are going to get worse in the future. That's
no,
hard.
Paul,
you know, this city's going to fall sometime
he
in the future.
He said in these last hours. No, no, no.
Yeah, the last 2,000 years have been the last hours, surely. Jesus said he...
I told you your destruction's imminent.
Jesus said the same thing 2,000 years ago.
I did not.
Jesus did.
He said Jesus said that.
Jesus said the same thing 2,000 years ago, and you guys have been saying this, you Christians have been saying this, for 2,000 straight years.
Stop lying. Stop lying about what Christ said. His words are written right in the book. You can read them.
Yes.
He said
that
before
this generation passes away, all this stuff will happen. Some of you standing here.
Before the generation that sees these things coming to pass, before that generation passes.
I'm sorry, did he say?
They will see all these events.
Before that generation that sees these things come to pass? Where's that?
He's giving you the parable of the fig tree, Mr. Mouse.
Right.
Your yelling isn't going to change those words that are written in the book.
Surely, I got to yell because
I'm
you're yelling.
I'm telling you the parable. Hey.
I stayed quiet when you talked,
I'd
expect you to give me the same respect.
I'm telling you the parable of the fig tree and of all trees.
Go ahead. Talk right over me.
Even as you see those leaves starting to change.
Right.
You will be seeing these signs of the times, and
right.
These are the things you'll see, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, he smacked the fig
those
tree.
Those things, hey.
Absolutely.
You see, are you so afraid of your beliefs that you can't shut up long enough to get an answer to
Surely,
your
statement? I don't think you've stopped talking for 2 straight seconds this entire time. Don't talk to me about that.
You said
if you can't accord me that respect, I won't record
said,
it to you.
And I was answering you.
All right, go ahead. Jesus smacks the fig tree for not bearing fruit out of its season as
wrong,
some sort of as some sort of parable.
Discussion, dummy. See, this is the part where he says, I'm going to tell you the parable of the fig tree and of all of the trees in one of the places it says.
Excellent. And one of the gospels that it mentions the parable of the fig tree because it's different in every gospel he mentions it.
Well, it's a little bit different.
Right.
You understand?
Well, I don't know whether or not to grab popcorn or throw water on you two.
Okay, so...
We're having a calm, civil discussion here, Leighton. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so you ready? You ready?
Go for it. The parable of the fig tree.
Now learn. This is Mark 13. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. When you see these things, you understand? And that's the things that he enumerated before that. And I'll read that if you want me to.
Yeah, what are those
Wait a minute. Verily I say unto you that this generation, that is, that sees these things coming to pass. Never had a grammar lesson?
What are those
Shall not pass till all of these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That is to say, the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You understand? And interestingly and beautifully and happily, this discussion is the chapter. There are 3 go-to chapters in the Gospels where Christ is discussing these last hours of the last days of all. And they are Matthew 24, Mark 13, that's where I just read from, and Luke 21. So he's describing these things just before he says that about the parable of the fig tree, and he says this. You're going to like this. You ready?
Hit me.
He says, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is in the housetops go not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of the house. Now, if I was to explain to you all of the beautiful words that attend those two verses, that's talking about that final awful indignation when in Zechariah 14 he says, and the nations will march upon Jerusalem, and that city will be taken, and their houses rifled, and their women ravished, and a half will go forth to the captivity, and so forth. That's the discussion that Christ is having right there. So, he says, and let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, just one little aside right here.
Please get to it, because so far it's been extremely vague.
Those Jews, they're going to turn back, because those Jews are rebellious in every respect. They're going to see the nations coming down on them like a ton of bricks, and those dumb, greedy Jews are going to go right back down into those houses to get their crap, and then woe unto them.
You realize Jesus was a Jew, right? That fact hasn't escaped you.
And your point is...
Well, you're putting Jesus in top with all those greedy Jews.
Hey, dummy, I said those greedy Jews that are going to see the nations marching on Jerusalem. Yeah. Those have a beginning and an ending. Christ is not on this earth right this minute in the flesh to do any of these events that he described to them that are coming in the future. And let him that is... Okay, but woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flights be not in the winter. For in those days... Now this is where he agrees with the prophets of old. They all agree to this point. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. That is to say, that Hitler Holocaust, that Babylonian captivity, that Assyrian juggernaut that just dispatched 10 of those tribes clean out of existence, virtually. Not completely, but virtually. They euphemistically call them the 10 lost tribes. Oh, and that Titus the Great marching on Jerusalem in 70 AD, all of that is going to look like a pinky out tea party. Moving on, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, don't you love that? There's the E word that everyone hates. Whom he hath chosen. Hey, what? You don't get to accept Christ as your own personal Savior? Whom he hath chosen. He hath shortened the days. For their sake, he shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ, this answers your statement earlier about, why does that... hidden in the dirt guy. Yeah. Don't follow anyone else. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible. It's not, but if it were, even the elect. I added that, if it's not, it's not. Okay, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Yea. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn the parable of the fig tree, when her branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves. Ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye see these things that he just described come to pass.
Right, right. The sun falling out of the heaven and the stars being quiet.
Verily I say
unto
you that this generation shall not pass. Hey, loser, I read you a lot more words than about the sun turning dark.
None of these signs
have occurred. I read you a lot more words, and there's more than that. You're going to have to do your own reading in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And I particularly love Luke 21, because that's where he says that he's going to give us a mouth and wisdom that you cannot resist nor gainsay. And that's where he says that all of the mischief that they're going to engage in against you, it's not going to cause, that not one hair of your head will perish, but it's going to turn for you for a testimony. And we find that to be true. We find those events to be happening right under our noses. And yours.
No.
You just don't believe, hon. That's the problem.
I don't believe,
because
these prophecies are ridiculously vague. You could pinpoint
them. No, they're not vague. No, they're not at all vague.
I mean, if the sun goes dark, then I suppose.
Son, you're a rebel, yes, and you'll see the sun go dark, except probably not you, because you understand this nation's destruction is imminent.
Right.
When it gets down to the part where it's talking about those events where the sun does go dark, there isn't any word about the fools from doomed America. It only speaks of the kings of the East.
Right.
In other words, nobody cares about Western civilization at that point, because we will be wherever it is that the Lord our God takes us. Keep your eyes open. When you see us go, let me put it this way. WBC go time is going to be doomed America's blow time. So when you see us going, just understand your destruction is more imminent.
Well, that's actually something.
What I'm saying is that wherever we are, we're going to be telling everyone on the ground, everyone left alive in this earth, besides the 300 million doomed American freaks that were just too stupid to hear and heed the warning, we're going to be saying, you see that burning mass over there? Because if you read Revelation 18, you know that the smoke of her burning is going to be seen by the whole world for a perpetual burning to a point.
And, that's another and to very that clear point, chapter
we'll be
in
telling,
the Bible.
I know,
Revelation.
Hon, for the rebels, everything is murky.
Right,
for the
requires no interpretation
hard.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just crystal clear.
And thou shalt not kill is probably murky too, right?
Well, God killed. I mean, why not?
Wait a minute.
Not only did God kill, but he ordered people to kill.
He said, thou shalt not
kill. Except when I tell you.
If that's confusing to you, thou shalt not kill, then
thou shalt not kill.
Confusion.
Now kill everyone in that Canaan.
Thou shalt not kill. That's your responsibility to obey that commandment. It's not a hard commandment to understand. It doesn't say, except for that collateral damage when you go hauling your asses over to Iraq, lying about weapons of mass destruction and killing all those civilians.
Well, aren't they killed because...
Except for that baby that got in your way and you decided you had to
kill. Aren't the American soldiers in Iraq killed because America tolerates gays and lesbians?
Hun, by one swipe, by the same swipe, that is, by this thing where God dragged this nation into a war in Iraq and Afghanistan, he is dealing with Iraq and Afghanistan, and he's dealing with doomed America. I think it's beautiful. The Lord our God does things that you couldn't have written the script for, and that's what keeps our lives so interesting.
Clearly, because we don't make any
sense.
It is
such an interesting life to serve God. It is amazing in all respects. Our days are full of goodness and interesting events. We never know from one day to the next.
That's actually
where we're going
I
next, except that
said.
I do know all roads lead to SCOTUS at this hour.
Surely, I've got a question about that. Now, God has a select few, and of course, the Westboro Baptist Church is part of those few, and the billions around the world who do not accept God are all going to be cursed to hell. Now, why is it God would create such a world with so many people in it if only a few people are actually going to be saved? Is it either God is inept at his work in spreading his gospel, or is it the people that are inept?
Yikes. Neither is the answer to your question, my dear. Here's the answer to your question. Paul gave it at Romans 9. Start with this. Who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? Can the thing formed say to him that formed him, why have you made me thus? See, when you dummies are busy kicking against the pricks because you are not going to have that man, Christ Jesus, to rule over you, you're wasting so much time and energy that is all vanity. You have to obey the commandments of God. That's all. Sometimes I'll have, like I was visiting with a niece the other day who's gotten in trouble with her older sibling, and her parents weren't on the ground, and I said to her, your life is so, so easy. All you have to do is obey. You don't even have to figure out what you're supposed to do. You're a youngster. You don't have to figure out where you're going to go, what you're going to eat. You don't have to do any of those things. All you have to do is obey.
Now,
obey your parents.
You're making a category error. You're looking for sense where no sense exists. It would be like you building a bunch of robots and then kicking the shit out of them because they didn't obey your software program.
Our lives, look, you're talking
it's exactly
to the
same.
We are the witnesses that are telling you that your children's lives don't have to be a complicated mess of heartbreak, sorrow, STDs, death, and mayhem.
I thought God already selected.
We don't have any of that at Westboro Baptist Church. We don't have any children with grade problems, with drug problems, with crime problems, with broken hearts, or STDs.
Or they run away.
Dude,
it's self-selecting.
Did you just hear me say that we don't have any children here that have those problems?
They're all gone. They've run to greener pastures.
Do you understand that 9 of my 11 children live right under my roof right now?
I'm sorry.
And half of my children, 6 of my 11 children, are grown.
Layton,
so I don't know what you're running your yap about.
Were you going
any
to lead
person,
to something?
But here's the point. Here's the more important point.
Layton.
Besides the fact that you
I'm
traffic in gossip and error, here's the more important point. We don't own salvation, but these children that live at Westboro Baptist Church have blessedly simple lives. When they grow up, they're going to decide if they're going to obey God or if they're going to serve themselves and their idols.
Okay. Well, now, surely the reason why I asked that question about God only choosing the select few is because
it's called the elect and it's called the remnant, hon.
All right, I'll keep that in mind. But the reason why I asked
Well, I'm just telling you what the words say.
Oh,
go
no,
ahead.
No worries, no worries. But the reason why I was asking that is because I expected you to tell me that that we needed to follow God's rules. Now, we've already thrown around a lot of scriptures, and it's pretty blatantly clear that in your mind, the Holy Bible is the Word of God, and there is nothing that supersedes it. We all must follow exactly what is in that. And my question is, should we follow what it says to do in Deuteronomy 22:29? Where it states that...
Here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that the ceremonial law was put away at Acts 10. I'm telling you that you need to read the whole Bible and you need to obey. That's all.
Well, now, Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law either. So not one jot or tittle in Matthew says would be removed.
He came to fulfill the law, and he did fulfill the law.
Not one jot or tittle will be removed until I come again, until the kingdom of God arrives.
No, he said it's never going to pass. It's never going to pass. Not until I come again.
Well, there you go.
This earth is going to melt.
So what about these ceremonial laws? Apparently those are jots and tittles, but somehow they're passed away.
Did you hear me say that he fulfilled the law? You don't any longer need a sacrifice because you've got the sacrifice.
It wasn't
now
a sacrifice.
Now you have the sacrifice of your lips.
It wasn't a
your
sacrifice
to
I was
God.
Referring to. What Deuteronomy 22:29 states is that if I as a man am caught raping a woman in a field, I must pay her father 50 shekels of silver and marry her, and I cannot put her away. And
yes.
in belief, I'm just wondering. If we are to accept the gospel and the Bible, we have to accept everything inside of it. And
well, then do that. How many women have you raped?
Well, none.
In a field.
I find it very difficult to believe that there's a benevolent God up there that would force a woman, an innocent woman, to marry a man and get raped for the rest of her life.
The God that these people believe in is not benevolent.
I love this. Listen to you. You listen to you reaching around, searching through those scriptures with one goal, to find a reason to blaspheme God and to deny his sovereignty and to fight against his word. Too bad about what you think. When you create your own world, you do what you want to with it. Meanwhile,
sure.
Shut the hell up and obey. It's really not complicated.
What were you saying about yelling before?
Well, all right, calm down, you two.
I said shut the hell up and obey.
Apparently, if you can't make your point, you just be louder. I don't understand why you're asking her questions about a benevolent God. These people do not believe in benevolent God. They believe in a God who
hates
fags.
You can characterize God however you want to characterize him, but at the end of the day, this is the love of God, that
you're talking,
you keep my commandments, and they're not grievous.
Layton,
you're
talking
a bunch of whiny,
people.
You're saying that it's grievous to you. That's what he said. He said it's grievous.
Layton, you're talking to people who picketed
him.
Mr. Rogers' funeral. Mr. Rogers.
Not Roy Rogers, dummy.
Fred Rogers.
That phony Presbyterian, lying, false prophet or preacher, Mr. Rogers. Mr. Do-Gooder.
Mr. Rogers.
I'm going to act like I'm all.
Yeah.
He was a preacher.
Well.
And he was a liar.
D- To be completely honest with you, Shirley, most of our fans know that I was raped as a child, and because of that, I actually turned more to God and figured God did not protect me because I was unrighteous. So these scriptures that I'm quoting are
the
very reason
I felt. Well, how did that happen?
How did it happen?
You brought it up. Now, how did it happen?
I was out
exploring. You don't need to give me the gory details. How did somebody get a hold of you?
I was out exploring a ditch. My family lived up in the wilderness, and a man was in the ditch. He grabbed me, and that was that.
And how old were you?
I was 5 years old.
And you were out there by yourself?
That was pretty normal for my family.
And how many times have you been really angry at your parents over these years because they let you be out there by yourself when you were 5 years old?
It wasn't my parents. I didn't ask you that.
Can you be honest about it or not?
My parents didn't even find out about this until about 3 months ago.
That's not what I asked you.
And I'm trying to answer you. I have never.
Human beings are kinkers. How many times have you thought it was your parents' fault?
Never. It was my fault for leaving. My mother taught us homeschool. And then she would allow us to play in the backyard. Now, above any of my other brothers, I was the one who was prone to wandering. It had nothing to do with my mother. It had nothing to do with my father. This had to do with
me. So your mom isn't supposed to be responsible to take care of you, to know your whereabouts, be responsible.
My mother did her goddamn best. And I fault her not in the least, and I do take umbrage with anybody who would try to say that my mother was at fault for my decisions.
Your five-year-old decision. You are cracking me up, dude.
My five-year-old decision was to go wandering. It was that man's decision to rape me. My mother had absolutely no goddamn fucking reason to be even in this conversation.
Except that your mother was responsible for you when you were 5 years old. I don't understand why you're carrying on like that.
You don't understand why I'm standing up for my mother?
I don't understand why you're acting like up is down. See, this is the way doomed Americans do. It's all about your feelings instead of about the truth.
The truth was...
Somebody is responsible for a five-year-old child.
The son of a bitch who caught me in a goddamn field is responsible. My mother protected me with her goddamn fucking life. I will not stand here
and
have anybody
listen to you carrying on like you have no control over yourself. You got no impulse control whatsoever. Is that
Shirley, that's very nice. You rile someone up into anger and then you blame
them
for it.
You rile someone? You mean asking a question?
Yeah, you brought his mother into it. She had nothing to do with
it.
I
asked
him
where his mother
was. You tell me that...
Don't say she didn't have anything to do with it.
You tell me that people...
I have 45 nieces and nephews, and I'm telling you...
Yeah, and I'm sure you watch your 11 kids 24/7. Absolutely, I'm positive.
Well, in this filthy nation, if you're a servant of God, you by God better be watching your children.
Right.
And by the way, let me step back from that.
You had a one walk away where you had to walk and find them. Are you telling me that?
No. Let me answer that. Absolutely, I have. But you understand that the best thing that I have, the only thing, I can't keep these children safe. I have to step back away from that statement. I got caught up in the moment. No, I cannot do that. I have one thing that I can do to help my children. It's obey my God. Order my affairs right, and the promises of God are as good as gold. He will keep my children. So now the next question, it will probably send you right through the roof, is what was it that your parents were teaching you about God?
The same exact thing you spouted right there. If I am righteous, God will protect me. And that...
Don't give me that crap. You were 5 years old. How does a five-year-old be righteous? Look, here's what God says about that. Your children, who knew nothing. You knew nothing. Their duty was to teach you every day, in every way, with everything that they do and say, what the Lord your God requires of you. I'm trying to say this is on them. Don't try to come back at me with my mom protected me with her goddamn life. She didn't teach you what the Lord your God requires of you.
So it's because
had she done that,
the world coming to an end to say that.
Field. Right.
Had she done that, I'm sure you never would have got raped, Leighton. I'm sure it would have.
Exactly. That's exactly
sure that
right.
Never would have happened. Right.
You know,
absolutely.
I have never.
And you and your mocking of that concept, that truth yeah. of God, that amazing
yep.
blessing
right.
that you eschew,
yep.
is not going to change it.
Well,
you know,
God can go ahead and
surely
take
that
care
man
of himself.
In that little pit, he was evil. But right now, where I'm sitting, as far as I'm concerned, the Westboro Baptist.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm probably way worse than the guy who raped you, right, hon?
That's what I'm seeing right now.
Well, it's
yeah.
not. I wouldn't say if God exists, I'd
typical.
Say he's worse.
Typical
if he exists,
that you stand in front of a funeral where someone's son has died. And you tell
that's,
the parents it's
they get
because
off on
you
it.
Didn't teach them properly.
Here's what I'm telling those parents, the same thing I'm telling you. You're still alive. You still have the breath of life in you. You're not in hell, so you still have a hope. If today, the scripture says, if today you will hear my voice, if today you will obey, the promise from God in Ezekiel 33:16 is beautiful. If today you'll obey him, he will never mention anything that you have ever done before. No sin. It all goes away.
And the promise
but
of God.
You're not going to be permitted to ask a servant of God how you're going to have the blessings of God in this life, which includes keeping your children in all of their ways, and have me tell you, oh, I'm so sorry that son of a bitch was out in that field and mistreated you.
No.
I'm not going to do it. It's a lie. It gives you a false hope.
I have no hope in God. In fact, if there is a God...
No, you have no hope at all. Forget that.
I'd rather go to hell.
God, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the righteous from temptation and how to preserve the wicked for the day of wrath.
So at the age of 5, I was determined by God to be wicked, and therefore I should have been punished.
Jacob and Esau were not yet born, having done neither good nor evil, so that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's your problem. You're mad at God. You're mad about these principles of the scriptures.
No.
You're mad because you know that this is what God has said and what he requires, and that every living creature was appointed to something. Now we're getting down to what Nate's problem is and what your problem is. And you guys call yourselves atheists because you think if you say, I don't believe in God, that's going to somehow let you off the hook in the day of judgment. And it is not.
I sure hope so.
If God could show one piece of evidence of his existence.
I sure hope it gets me off the hook.
He has shown you plenty. Romans 1 also says,
and,
that which may be known of God.
Why is
Romans
it nobody ever quotes
says,
the scriptures about God giving hemorrhoids to people? Why
that,
is it God never?
That which,
why is it
that
people
which,
don't
it
quote
does
the scriptures,
have scriptures
of the
about that
coming down and killing all those kids because they
yes, just what they needed.
The
their parents had taught those children,
the
that
children
that God was a liar and to mock the prophet
by a she bear.
They mocked the prophet
in front of a bald guy.
You can't,
they
you can't mock
prophets, the prophet.
Then.
They mocked the prophet.
You can't do that. You're going to get killed.
They mocked the prophet, Demi.
Mock him.
There's a lesson for you. Don't
there
mock
you
the prophet. Yikes.
It used to be
how stupid is
that? God, it used to be that God sent she-bears. Now they send the Phelps.
IEDs and cars
right.
and trains
right.
and sharks and
on
you, and on and on.
Fewer have died in this war than World War II. Fewer have died in this war than Vietnam.
Apparently, we're getting more righteous.
Oh, we got
going.
The verse for you on that, hon. Because sentence against an evil work is not speedily executed. The hearts of the rebels are fully
oh, what a
set
cop
in them
out.
To do evil.
That gives God all the time in the world to do it. That's God copying.
That's right, but don't worry. The time is short. The destruction
yeah.
is imminent.
Is there a date you'll put on this program where you'll just give up? If 2020 arrives, will you admit
that
you're wrong?
I believe it was 2012 was put out by her father.
The destruction is imminent, Demi. Oh, wait a minute. Where'd you get 2012? What did you say?
Actually,
you've
Nathan,
got all those amazing words of God, and you're going to go to Nostradamus to get
that
your date?
Your father stated that the end of times was in 2000 or within 25 years.
Stop
of that.
Lying about my dad. My dad didn't say anything of the sort.
What Nathan Phelps, your brother, told us.
I don't care what he said. He's a liar like you guys. He's one of you. He is you. My dad never put
excellent.
Any date because God said, no man knows the day nor the hour. So, of course, we don't put a date on
right.
when, of course, we can't know the day
question.
Nor the hour.
Do you guys believe that you are going to be twinkled to heaven? Do you guys believe that you are going to see death?
Here's what we believe. You find this in 1 Thessalonians. It's beautiful. It says, he says, I'm going to talk to you, Paul's saying, concerning them which sleep, that those that which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord will not interfere or, I can't remember the word he uses, but they're not going to prevent them which sleep, because the Lord is going to appear through the clouds with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. A great noise the whole earth is going to hear and see. And he's going to, first, them which are asleep in Christ will rise. And then them which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air with them and so be forever with the Lord. Now that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that, because these are the last hours of the last days of all. And our hope is not going to be ashamed. You guys have put all your hopes on vanities.
But you never answered my question. Is there a certain date? Is there a certain date by which, because you say it's imminent, is there a certain date by which you'll admit that you're wrong? If 2020 rolls around, will you go,
I don't know why you're so hard of hearing.
I was wrong.
The day, no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man will return. But Christ also said,
what's imminent?
You will know that it is imminent. Because of the signs of the times, because the signs of the times, and he describes them, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot. They were eating and drinking. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded until the day that Lot went out and God destroyed them all with fire. You look to those circumstances, but he says that those signs of the times are going to be easier to discern than the weather. Now, how easy is it to know what the weather's doing?
Weatherman gets it wrong quite often.
Extremely easy. Don't you know how to answer any question just straightforward and honestly?
So we can't get an answer from
you. It's extremely easy to understand, to discern the weather.
It's imminent, but if 40 years roll around, you'll still say it's imminent. I mean, that's basically what you're telling me.
You are wasting your time with that 40-year crap. I said imminent. Yeah.
Let me ask this. What happens when your father dies?
We wrote a nice parody.
Who is going to lead the church? What happens when your father dies? Who is going to lead the church at that point?
You're not listening to me, dude.
Actually, I was listening.
Them which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which sleep.
So he won't die.
Your
he'll be raptured.
Your hope that my dad is going to die.
Well, actually, I'm not hoping. I'm just expecting. Your father is an old man.
No, yikes.
So he's going to be raptured.
And you know that I'm going to pick at a dead soldier tomorrow who was only 19.
I understand
now,
this, but
so
I'm bringing this out because when your father dies, I want it to be on our show that you are stating that he was supposed to be twinkled, and therefore there is no hierarchy in
twinkled?
Place.
Twinkled? What the hell did you... What did you say twinkled? What the hell is that?
It's a term my mother used for those prophets that were twinkled up to heaven, and they never tasted death.
And of course, there was two, I'm assuming you mean translated... And there were only two of those. I didn't say that that's what was going to happen to my dad. I said I expect him to be with us when the Lord comes through those clouds. But that's what I said.
He's going to be raptured.
He's going to be.
I expect him to be with us when the Lord comes through the clouds.
That's what I wanted to hear, because I actually have a bet going that when he dies, things are going to get rough.
Things are going to get rough. That reminds me of a song. Starting all over again. It's gonna be rough. Oh, excuse me, I digress.
All right. Well, Leighton, I think we've gone over.
We told you your destruction's imminent.
I think I'm done banging.
You should have listened to our words. See, we write our beautiful parodies. You can hear them on the website.
Actually, we were listening to them before we started the podcast.
Yeah, do you mind if we play a part of that at the beginning of one of our podcasts?
Yeah, that one's off of the Crazy Train. You know, crazy, it's much too late to speak of God's love when you're brought on his head.
Is it
crying about your feelings for your sin?
I'm
no
pretty sure
shame.
On their website it actually states that anybody can
hell on a crazy train.
Gotcha.
See, I even have my, what do you call that when you get parts? Harmony. I got my harmony here.
Excellent.
My middle daughter just came in from work.
Excellent. All right.
Is it okay if we put up one of the songs?
Yes, you can use anything you want off the website, hon. We say that on the website, and you're welcome to do that.
Great. All right. So let's wind it up. And actually, if this last hour has taught me anything, it's God is even less confident than I thought he was if he was going to use you guys to spread the word.
All right, baby. Have a nice day.
All right.
You're so funny. That's your answer to obey your God. You're so incompetent. I'm not going to listen because you're incompetent. Is that what you're going to tell God?
His whole plan is wrapped up in about 70, 75 people to preach the word.
Oh, no. It's not anywhere near that. His plan's not wrapped up. You forgot all those servants of God that went before us.
I'm just wondering if we should start a pool and a betting pool on the site.
Do whatever you like,
hon.
You've got to pass the time of your sojourning somehow.
Well,
you might as well
I understand.
Do that.
I'm just suggesting that we put up a betting pool as to A, when Christ is coming back, since it's imminent, and B, when your father
is
going to die.
Christ is returning to take you from
this much
that
I'm,
land.
I'm
oh, that's the Israeli, you know, their, what do you call that, national anthem. We had to write a parody to their national anthem.
Gotcha. All right. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think I've probably said it all.
Okay.
Excellent.
Except
all
that the time is short, guys. You need to get up, put away all your nonsense, get a Bible, crack it, and read the words, and put on your obey.
Time's
According
been short for the
heard,
last 2,000 years.
I'll never go to hell. So.
All right, hon.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on, Shirley.
Yeah, thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.